The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, October 19th, 2020.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do. Because the woman in your life is you.
To Women's Spaces, my name is Elaine B. Holt, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and co-producer, Kenneth E. Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
What a beautiful day here in Sonoma County. We are live in the studio, and it's just... I don't know, you know, people are voting and all kinds of great things are going on, and at the same time, many of us are still hunkered down, you know, trying to figure out everything that's going on, wear a mask, don't wear a mask. Listen, I saw something on Facebook this morning that really blew me away. An African-American woman put a picture of her beautiful daughter with a ventilator in her mouth and said, "My daughter died. She was only 31 years old. Don't think that this virus is a joke." So I recommend very heartily wear mask, wash your hands, and social distancing. Extremely, extremely important. You know, I was listening to Governor Chris Christie when he said, "I made a mistake. I let my guard down. I didn't wear a mask." And he ended up in ICU for 7 days. I mean, this is serious business, folks, so we really have to take care of ourselves. Well, we're in a real deep political season, that's for sure. And I have two special guests with me this morning. Joining me on the phone for the first segment will be activist attorney Colleen O'Neill, who is the background of challenging law enforcement. And we'll be talking about Measure P that's happening here in Sonoma County, the Evelyn Cheatham Effective Independent Office of Law Enforcement Review and Outreach IOLERA Ordinance. You know, this is amazing that it's even on the ballot. I mean, this is a true grassroots event that happened, and people got together and we got it on the ballot. I mean, I'm just elated about it and all the support we have. After all, for more than 20 years, community members have been working towards achieving a community oversight for the Sonoma County Sheriff's Office, particularly after the killing of young Andy Lopez by a sheriff's deputy. A partial victory was achieved with the county's creation of IOLERA. But it needs a little bit more work, and that's why it's going to the polls. And so I'm looking forward to talking to Colleen. She's been involved with Measure P for a while and has done some many, many other things in our community that we will be talking about. Also joining me on the phone is one of my favorite people, is Carolyn Bonsuelos. She's actually on our board at KPBF, and she's also the president of the Latino Democratic Club. And we'll be talking about the Latino Democrats, all about what's the difference between them and the regular Democrats, you know, what do they bring to the table? We'll have a good discussion on that. And I'm really excited. I just found out that Carolyn is also a candidate for the Santa Rosa Junior College Board of Trustees. Well, she has quite a resume, this woman, and I'm really, really looking forward to talking with her. You know, like I do every show to present our history as our strength. Well, before I go into that, I want to do a shout out to all the women who were marching all weekend. It was a beautiful wave of women power sweeping the nation. I got a really wonderful email from one of my friends, and as I write this, she said, "An extraordinary nationwide uprising with 430 socially distant actions, rallies, car canvasses, voter registration drives, town halls, and a mass march in Washington, D.C. And right here in Petaluma, shout out to all the women in Petaluma that came out in mass to protest all that is going on. It's particularly, I mean, I cannot believe that we're even considering a woman for the Supreme Court to replace, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, a woman who who believes that she has to consult with her husband before she does anything, and she belongs to a group that they call women handmaidens. I mean, come on, ladies. We need progressive voices in this world. I don't know what people are so afraid of. And I was thinking, too, about this whole abortion issue. You know, I never, ever said I'm for abortion, but I never said I was against it. What I said, I am for choice, C-H-O-I-C-E, choice. That we have a choice over our own bodies. You know, it's real interesting. I was reading this little piece here, talking about pro-life, for example. You know, pro-life should be to protect our earth, protect our children, protect our women, protect our health, protect our water, protect our food. You know, it's not going into women's wombs and telling them what to do. And, you know, it's a religious question also, saying, well, you know, you're killing a child. Well, you know, we're killing children through wars. We're killing children through putting them in cages at the border. I mean, look at the way we're killing them by not having good education. You know, we're killing them by not having medical care. You know, and here they are. We're so frantic about we're going to kill this entity that hasn't even begun yet. And, you know, maybe, you know, I don't know. Maybe it is the beginning of life. You know, and if you're going to say that to kill any form of life is illegal, let's just make it across the board. Let's include wars. Let's include violence. And I was thinking about the violence also. You know, we have these young men coming out. They're called the militia now with guns. Hey, guys, you know, you're fighting for the wrong reason. You should be protecting the protesters. They're standing up for you as well as everybody else so we can have a free country and we can have what our children need to survive. And you need to start thinking about these things. But this is just my humble opinion, you know, and I have a lot of opinions. And the thing that is so heartbreaking to me, I mean, really heartbreaking, is yesterday Ken and I went downtown in Santa Rosa and we sat by our square. We just sat down and we just looked at the trees and watched the kids play. We saw young men, they were doing all kinds of toolies with their bicycles. I mean, it's really exciting when you see youth. They have so much energy. You know, I remember myself how much energy I had at one time. And I was just sitting there looking and I thought, what a beautiful world we live in. What is it in us that doesn't accept the fact that we have this beautiful earth, and if we just would take care of it and share with one another, that we could have peace on earth? Because all the problems we're having is because one set of people say, I deserve more, and another set of people saying, hey, I'm starving out here, help me. I mean, come on, we have to come together. And I think people, if they just take a moment, just a moment during the day to look at the beauty of the day, the blue sky, the fact that we have air to breathe. I mean, it's so wonderful that we can see a blue sky. I mean, if we don't take things seriously about this climate change, you know, I don't know if people remember in Northern California when I woke up about a month ago, I thought it was 10 o'clock at night and it was 8:30 in the morning. There was no sun. Our figs couldn't even ripen because there was no sun. So, you know, we have to start taking things a little bit more seriously and start thinking more in a collective way about each other and how what is affecting you is also affecting me, and how can we come together to help solve these problems. And, you know, we're into an election, and I hope we have a change of regime. I certainly do. I hope that there, you know, it's a good outcome. But if Joe Biden wins, he's not the savior. We still have to remain active. To be a strong democracy, you have to have strong, educated people that are speaking out and saying, no, this is not right, or yes, this is right. We approve of that. So lots to think about. One last thing I want to do before maybe going to a musical break is we'll talk a little bit about our history as our strength. Well, this is so interesting. In October 16th, 1916, can you believe this? 1916, what is that? That's about 104 years, if my math is correct. Margaret Sanger opens the U.S. United States first birth control clinic in Brooklyn, New York. And what a stir it caused. Oh, my goodness. Women can have birth control. We can control, not have 9 kids. I mean, read Angela's Ashes, and you'll see what it's like not to have birth control and what to have total control over your body by somebody else. And then I have a few birthdays here. You know, these women are so interesting. They really are. October 19th, which is today, Lois Meek Stultz. first president of education for young children in 1929 to 1931, and she urged Works Progress Administration to establish nursery schools. My goodness, can you believe this? In 1929 to 1931, this woman was working to establish nursery schools. Well, her birthday was October 19th, and she made her transition in 1984. And then there's another interesting woman here, October 24th. She was born in 1830 and made her transition in 1917. Belva Lockwood, attorney, first woman to practice law before the Supreme Court in 1879. And this is really interesting. I have to find out a little bit more about this because we always thought that Hillary Clinton was one of the first that ran for president. But I think it's Hillary Clinton had the first approval of the parties. But here was a woman who ran twice for United States president in 1884 and 1888. I mean, my God, that is so interesting. I have to do a little bit. I'll do a little bit more research on it because I want to find out. I want to find out more about this woman. I mean, this is fascinating. And then she was born on October 22nd, 1834. Oh, my goodness. And in 1915, she made her transition. And this is another woman that's very interesting, Abigail Scott Duniway, early Western author and Pacific Northwest suffrage leader from 1871 until 1915. She succeeded in winning women's suffrage in Oregon in 1912. Can you believe that? So Oregon got the vote 1 year after California got the vote. And the whole idea of the suffrage movement, just to make it clear with everybody, they wanted a constitutional amendment and it would go across all the states. And that was a struggle within itself because some states had votes, some didn't. And when they start pushing for this, the ones that had the vote were afraid they might lose it if something happened with the trying to get the thing that was a constitutional amendment. So this is really amazing. And these are women. We had this, if you remember, we had the show last week with Earth Mama, and her famous song, Standing on the Shoulders. These are the women we're standing on the shoulders of. And look, when you think in 1888, this woman running for president, I mean, that took, there's a Yiddish word called chutzpah. That took a lot of chutzpah, I'll tell you, at that time. And here she was the first one to practice law before the Supreme Court. And actually, the Supreme Court was pretty young when she first appeared there. So I'm going to do a little bit more information on her. Then I have a little announcement here. You know, we're going to be doing an interview on Measure P here in Sonoma County. But I want you folks to mark your calendars because this Thursday, that's the 22nd, the National Organization for Women Now, the Sonoma County Chapter, will be hosting a Zoom for Measure P. And, you know, you can go to www.sonomanow.org for details. And also we'll have information on women's spaces as soon as it goes up. And there's going to be there's going to be a debate that night, I know, with the presidents. But I'll tell you something. I really feel people are going to be showing up because I'm tired of listening to Trump. I really am. I mean, I don't want to hear it anymore. So it's important that folks show up. And Measure P, again, is the Evelyn Cheatham Effective Independent Office of Law Enforcement Review and Outreach IALERA Ordinance. And it's going to give us more oversight here in Sonoma County. And when my first guest comes on, she's going to be talking a lot about the measure, what it offers, and, you know, some of the resistance. And I just want to make it clear that we did reach out to law enforcement to have them come on the show here at KBBF, but I never got any response. So I consider that they may not be interested, or because of staffing somehow, maybe it's difficult for them to get somebody to come on the air and talk about this. But I did get somebody from the Measure PCAP, and that's Camp, C-A-M-P, and that's going to be Colleen O'Neill, and she's going to be talking. She's an activist and an attorney, and actually she called herself a retired attorney, but when I was reading her information, she doesn't look like she's really retired. It looks like she's still working as hard as she always did. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to take a musical break. Is that okay, Ken? Are we ready for a musical break? And perfect song. perfect song for this time. And my favorite singer is one of my favorite singers. I just love these women that come out with these great songs. And it's called Mr. Politician. Listen to the words very carefully, particularly when you start thinking about this Supreme Court justice appointment. You know, every woman out there should be writing in protest. We need someone who is fair. We need someone who doesn't have that kind of history. I mean, we need someone who has more openness. I mean, and also the fact that the organization she belongs to, they say that the husband has the final word, then maybe they need to also interview her husband to see what his attitude is towards the court and towards the ideas. I mean, one of the things that it looks like is, you know, they want to get rid of that affordable health care. And I mean, that is really sad. They keep saying, well, we got something to replace it, but I haven't heard anything about that. So let's go ahead, Ken, let's go ahead and play Mr. Politician, and then coming on the air to talk about Measure P is going to be Colleen O'Neill, an activist lawyer, when we return.
Hey, Mr. Politician, don't legislate my love. You're not walking in my shoes. Don't hide behind your religion. It's my right choose. It's not your place to call me a sinner or decide who to have as my mate. Don't twist the words of the Bible to make laws that discriminate. If I choose, it's not your place to turn back the clock to a time when I had no voice. Don't try to take away my right to have freedom of choice. Hey, Mr. Politician, there's no debate. We already separated church. Don't send me to war. You're not walking in my shoes. Don't hide behind a battle. It's not worth the lives we lose. It's not your place to lead your crusade, teaching our children to fight. Or say, can you see? The dawn's early light. Hey, Mr. Politician, there's no debate. We already separated church and state. Your religion should never abuse.
freedom to choose. You know, for you folks who believe in the Bible, it says that God gave us free will. To me, that is freedom to choose. Well, for you just joining us, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa. I want to remind my listeners the opinion expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back, folks. And I announced that we were going to have Colleen O'Neill on, and we called her, and I don't know, maybe she was a little bit late getting to the phone, but she's not there. Colleen, if you're listening, we're going to put you on as guest number two. And we've changed the agenda around a little bit, and I'm happy to announce that I have on the phone with me one of my favorite people, Carolyn Bonsuelos. Welcome, Carolyn. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Oh, thank you, Elaine. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, I'm just so excited to have you. You know, one of the things, one of the reasons particularly, especially it's around an election season now, you know, we have the Democratic Club and we have the Latino Democratic Club. And I thought, you know, this is a good time. This is a good time to talk about this. And also, and also one of the things that I came up with when I was reading your bio, which I thought was really interesting. I'm going to introduce you a little bit here, but that you worked on the Cinco de Mayo program and you brought a very, very peaceful program to a problematic program, and I think that's important to talk about it and let folks know some of the things that you did and some of the ways that you were able to achieve all that you achieved with that. So let me introduce you before we start the conversation. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Okay, Carolyn Bonsuelos, I have to make sure I pronounce that name right, is a 30-plus year resident of Sonoma County, and I believe her roots are totally, really deeply into the community. I mean, Caroline is a personal friend of mine. I mean, we've laughed together, we've cried together, we've talked together. I even went ahead, there was an issue at KBBF and she's on the board and I had to go in front of her. And I was just amazed at her fairness and her ability to listen. She was also part of the chair of the Community and Local Law Enforcement Task Force, also known as the Andy Lopez Task Force, Cali Commission, where she recommended reforms in law enforcement and served 4 years on the Santa Rosa Planning Commission, 6 years on the Board of Social Advocates for Youth, SAY, and also co-founded the Sonoma County Latino Democratic Club. She is also vice president of KBBF. She's also the board vice president of KBBF and co-chair for Cinco de Mayo in Roseland for the past 15 years. She had the honor of graduating Santa Rosa JC and then went on to Sonoma State, where she earned her BA degree in political science. Well, welcome to Women's Spaces, Caroline. I mean, what an impressive agenda you have. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I think you covered it all, Elaine.
I did a lot of research on you, and I find it fascinating. You know, the show here is dedicated to ordinary women doing extraordinary things, and I'll tell you something, my love, you definitely fit the bill. Well, before we talk about the Latino Democratic Club, I'd like to talk about some of these entities and how did you get involved in politics, or what was your motivator? I mean, you worked for Sears in Sebastopol, where it was a good food program for underfunded people. You know, you've been on the Cali board, plus also on the commission. I believe you've been on the planning board in Sonoma County. So how did you get involved? Give us a little bit of your background. Who is Carolyn Bonsuelos?
Who am I?
That's a great question.
I don't know. No, I'm kidding. You know, I think my parents, I think it starts with my parents. My father, you know, of course, immigrated from Mexico way before I was born. My mother was actually born here in the United States in L.A., in East L.A., but they're both Mexican descent. And so, my mother really instilled in me, you know, an interest in politics. And my father also did. He was always following what was happening politically in Mexico, even though he's lived here much longer than he ever lived in Mexico. So, I think that's where it started, because my mother was a poll worker. She really believed in the political process. and always talked about politics with all of us, myself and my siblings. So I think that's where it started. And then it wasn't until I went to school. I started out at the junior college, as you said, thought I would just get a certificate in something because I was always told that I was, you know, not that smart. So not directly, but just indirectly was always told, oh, you're not really college material. So I thought I'll just get a certificate, and I was kind of going down the accounting path.
Kind of women related things. When you said that, it reminded me of the counselor, what the counselor said to me in school. She said, Elaine, you're too pretty to go to college. Why don't you just find yourself a good husband?
Wow.
Well, this was in 19, these were the 50s. I mean, and I looked at her and I thought, what?
right. And my parents were very much, they had a belief that, you know, that their sons would go to college, but not their daughters, that we would just get married.
Right.
So, so it was very similar. And, you know, ironically, my brothers did not go to college, but my sister and I did. And so.
Good for you, man.
Yeah, we did everything, you know, and, you know, backwards. So, to make a long story short, I ended up, you know, becoming a political science major because I realized that really my interest was politics. I see politics as what, you know, for the good or the bad, it makes the world happen. And that's where the decisions are made. And I really believe that, you know, decisions that are made at every level of government, whether there's federal, state, or local, affect our lives. And so we need to be at the table. And so I think that's where my interest and my motivation comes from.
Well, you're definitely a good example for women out there because especially now what's going on, I feel sometimes they want to pull us backwards. I mean, I remember hearing this from this counselor myself and from my mother. You know, my mother used to say, I'm your most beautiful daughter. You know, you're going to have to marry well.
Oh.
I mean, it was really a catch-22 for me. When I went back to college, I had the same experience. It was like a wake-up call. Like, oh, my God, you know, I have more opportunity here. I mean, I became a journalism major, and I thought, wow, you know, I can get out here and do what I need to do. And so it's, you know, women don't realize how oppressed we were. And that's why it's so important that we pay attention. Well, talk about, you know, I'm really curious about Cinco de Mayo. I know that, you know, when it first happened, you know, and I know we hear stories, and I've never quite got the whole story, but there were some issues, and then all of a sudden you and a group of activists kind of took it over. What happened, and how were you able to end up having such a wonderful peace? I mean, it was a peaceful event, and actually with young people actually participating instead of kind of fighting with each other.
Right. Well, that's a great question, Elaine. I think it was in 2005 now, so it's been a lot of years, right? Everything that was happening between the community and law enforcement was at that time coming to a head. And Cinco de Mayo, the people in Roseland had decided they were just going to celebrate it the way they want to. And they were kind of out on the street with, you know, Mexican flags and, you know, just, you know, walking around celebrating Cinco de Mayo, and it wasn't anything that was organized or anything. And, you know, I think like so many things, somehow the police were contacted. And at that time it was the sheriff because it wasn't annexed at all. And so half of Roseland, and I don't have the exact numbers, but part of Roseland was annexed and part of it wasn't. So it could either have been the sheriff or Santa Rosa police. But they were contacted and told that, you know, things were out of control, which actually I don't believe was the case. But such as it is, they came down, and then there was a confrontation between law enforcement and the community. And mind you, there were young people out, but there were also families out with their kids and strollers and just wanting to, you know, celebrate Cinco de Mayo. And, you know, and just as a note, Cinco de Mayo isn't really celebrated in Mexico. It's celebrated in one town where it originated, but it's not real Mexican Independence Day. So, but it's a very much an Americanized holiday, right? So, so anyway, they had a confrontation. There was some vandalism. There were supposedly rocks and bottles thrown at law enforcement. Different businesses had their buildings vandalized or windows broken, that kind of thing. Exchange Bank comes to mind as a big one that had their, you know, they have all the glass windows there. Those were broken. And so we were already doing work around gangs at that time. Myself, Arnie Berrigan, and a group from St. Joseph's were doing work around gangs. And we thought, you know, we really need to do something about this because we don't want our community and law enforcement. We didn't want it to turn into what eventually happened to Andy Lopez. We didn't want it to get to that level. So we got together. We went to the city. The city was skeptical about having any kind of event that would be peaceful and successful. So we went to the county, and we sat down with then-Sheriff Codvill, who has his own issues, you know, around immigration. But for this issue, he was really open to changing the dynamic between the Latino community and law enforcement. So he supported us and had us hold our first meetings there at the sheriff's department in his big conference room and meet with he wanted it to be a community event. So he didn't lead it. He just gave us the space. And he even provided food and everything for us to start meeting and trying to put an event together. And that's how it all started.
Well, you did an amazing job. But the most important, the kernel of it all, is the community said, we have to do something. And they came together. I mean, that's what's so interesting about even when we have, when we start talking about the sheriff and everything, I'm thinking about Measure P. There's another action that the community came together and persisted. And also, another thing, too, it sounded that you had faith in the young people, that if you worked with them and you got them together, that you could make it a very positive event.
Right.
So I think, absolutely. I mean, to your credit, I think it's an amazing story and it's an amazing event. I mean, this year, unfortunately, because of the virus, it didn't happen. But every year that we went, it was just a marvelous and so comfortable to be there. And you know, it's interesting. The first part of your intro, you mentioned your mother in East Los Angeles. You know, I was born in East LA too. Boyle Heights. Hey, Boyle Heights.
That's right.
Well, Carolyn, let's talk about the the Latino Democratic Club here. Is it called the Sonoma County Latino?
Yes.
Talk a little bit about them. You know, give us a little bit of history, why you thought it was important to start. What's the difference between them? Is there a difference? And what issues are a little bit different between them? I know it's a long question, and we'll talk in between. But, you know, give us an idea of why it's important and the difference.
It started back in, I believe it was 1993, I'm trying to remember. I was on the Democratic Central Committee at the time, and I was vice chair at that time, amazingly, because I was a young, what they call young Democrat, anybody under 35, I was in that category, and they made me the vice chair. I don't know why. So,
well, I know why, but that's okay.
A couple of people who saw, you know, kept reading about what everybody refers to as the sleeping giant. You know, the Latino community was growing, and we are the sleeping giant, and we've got to do something to wake the giant up. You know, that kind of thing. There were a lot of stories coming out at that time in the early 90s about the sleeping giant because we had the numbers, but we weren't voting, that kind of thing. So,
you know, Carolyn, I got to say something. It's interesting how they come up with the sleeping giant, the silent majority, you know, all these.
Yes.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yes, no, absolutely. That is so true. A woman that is a judge now, Virginia Marcoida, who is now Judge Marcoida, she's a Superior Court judge here in Sonoma County. She and Herb Castillo, who is a fabulous person, he has worked in nonprofit for many years. He's married to Chris Castillo over at Verity. Those two folks had this idea to form a Latino Democratic Club. And as you mentioned, there were already the Santa Rosa Democratic Club, which is the one of the oldest Democratic clubs in the county, was already established. And we had the ability through the Central Committee to have other clubs. And so they came to the Central Committee and, you know, with bylaws and the whole thing, and which I worked with them on some of those things, but they actually started it. And they came to the club and got it certified, to the Central Committee and got it certified. And the reason, I think, is because, as I said, they really wanted to find a way. The Latino community at that time was very young in Sonoma County, if you will, and they wanted to find a way to bring Latinos into the political process to wake them up. And so, and at that time also, just by coincidence, the community was starting to grow more and more. When I came to Sonoma County in the 80s, you know, I would take a class and I'd be the only Latino in the class, you know, for many classes. But in the 90s, I started seeing more and more Latinos, and it just kept growing. So the timing was perfect because there was a need. And my mother used to say, and I think this is very true, that we always have a new population. It's always new because of the immigration, you know. So, and that's one of the reasons why people say, you know, why don't you, you know, do more than integrate, you know. And one of the reasons is because we always have a new population all the time, at least up until the Trump administration. So you have new immigrants coming in. And then they have children who become first generation, you know, so it just keeps happening. So that's what the idea was, that we wanted to bring Latinos into the political process. We wanted to take positions on issues that affected the Latino community differently than it might affect the greater community. We wanted to do all of those things, and that's why the club was created.
So what's so interesting about it is that even though it's called the Latino Democratic mm-hmm. Club, I noticed that mm-hmm. there is an integration. I mean, there are Caucasians. There are different people do support it. That's what's so exciting about it. Well, we're coming to the end of the segment, and what are some of the issues that you feel that are very important right now? Of course, we know the immigration issue right now, and you know we know that is really important. And but what are some of the other issues besides that that our community faces right now? I mean, here we have Roseland, you know, is right now. I mean, I'm so excited when I think that there's actually an election going on in Roseland to be on the city council. Right. I mean, it's just we have district elections going. I mean, it's amazing the changes that have happened in our community in the past 5 years. I mean, it's really it's actually exciting when you think about it. So what are some of the issues that you think are important? Just maybe one.
Well, I'll just say, you know, district elections, as you mentioned, was one of the big ones. I started working on that in 2004, and then the North Bay organizing group picked it up. North Bay organizing. I know I'm forgetting the last part. MBOP picked it up and tried to get it passed. And then finally, one of our members actually, contacted a lawyer that was working on district elections and kind of made it happen. Finally, we knew that we couldn't get it passed because there was just too much resistance to it. We knew that the city was probably violating the law, the Voting Rights Act, because of the numbers. But we couldn't get the council just to put it on the agenda, on the ballot. So to put it on a ballot and then get it passed. So we knew it was going to take more. It was going to take probably, unfortunately, a lawsuit. And that's what happened, was that the lawyer contacted the city and made that happen. That actually, stemmed from the Latino Democratic Club.
Well, what's interesting about that when you talk about district elections, we have Measure P now, and it was so interesting. They have these billboards all over the county. Mm-hmm. And one of the things it says on the billboards is no more costly bureaucracy. Don't defund our deputies. It's interesting how they got a hold of the one word defund, which is very, which is a poor word because it's really kind of reallocate. And it's not, nothing's, and it's so interesting because nothing's coming out of the sheriff's fund. It's coming out of the general fund and it's, I think it's 1%. And it, you know, it, the way they worked it out. And I think about the district elections, you know, the way they defeated when it was on the ballot is they had one concept is if you vote yes, you're going to lose your vote, which was ridiculous. Right. You know, you vote for your district, you know, and it made it much easier. So people need to look at the innuendos and what people are saying and find out for themselves, you know, do a little research. Right. You know, it's our community. It's very, very important. Well, one last thing I want to ask you, how does one become a member and and then anything else you'd like to add, any final words, any website that you have in mind?
Anybody can be a member, and that's really important. Thank you for asking that question. Anyone can be a member. You don't have to be Latino. You don't have to be a registered, I should say you don't have to be a citizen. So absolutely we welcome DACA members or anybody else that wants to be a member. We hope that, of course, that you want to be a Democrat at some point if you want to, but you don't have to. So anyone can be a member. We meet on the fourth Thursday of every month. Right now we're meeting on Zoom, like so many other groups. And we're building our website right now, a new website, actually. So we have a Facebook page, and it's easy to find. It's Sonoma County Latino Democratic Club. So anyone can join that as well. So that's the best way to find us right now.
Well, I'll tell you, I really appreciate all this information. I think it's just absolutely wonderful that you've put this together and that, you know, just another organization to help people to get the word out. And also I understand, you know, just as a quickie here, just I think aren't you running for in an election now, or aren't you running for an office?
Yes, I am. I'm running for the Santa Rosa Junior College Board of Trustees. Area
345. Well, congrats. So another election, you know, and you know, I mean, this is just amazing. I wish you much success in this endeavor, you know. And Carolyn Bonsuelos, president of the Sonoma County Latino Democratic Club, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being on Women's Spaces and wish you all the luck in the world for all the things that you're doing.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much. Wow, folks, you know, one woman after another, ordinary women doing extraordinary things. Well, we're going to try to see if we can get Colleen O'Neill on to see if we can do a quick one on Measure P. And I thank Carolyn Bonsuelos. What a great, great interview that was. A lot of information. I mean, there's so many ways you can get involved, folks. I mean, and, you know, the big topic today is racism. You know, and the best way to overcome racism is get to know people of other races. And there's several ways you can do that. One, join the Latino Democratic Club. You get to meet lots of wonderful Latinos. And trust me, I work at KPBF. It's a wonderful experience, learning and growing and being together. You know, just amazing. And then there's also the Sonoma County Black Chamber of Commerce or the Black Forum. There's all kinds of places you can join, become part of. And you know, some of the groups that I belong to, some of the women of color groups that I belong to, I'm the only Caucasian. So what ends up happening, I begin to understand what it feels like to be the only, say, black person in the room. I mean, and that's how you grow. That's how you learn, by integrating, by getting to know people. Because the bottom line is we're all human beings. We all have a heart, soul. We all live. We all die. We all love our children. You know, we got to come together and get to know each other. So thank you, Caroline, for doing that and for opening it up to everybody. Anyway, we're going to take a musical break, and I'm going to dedicate this to Caroline and all the other women out there who've done things, wonderful things. And this is the song, when I interviewed Earth Mama last week, this was the song we could not play. You have come a long way, ladies. And then we'll see if we can get Colleen on the phone when we come back. So let's go ahead with that, Ken.
Sometimes the hand that rocks the cradle has got to rock the boat. It's a line that I remember from the diary Grandma wrote as she rode the train to Washington to stand and speak her mind. She made some waves that brought a change and made a mark in time. We've come a long way, ladies. From no boat and high button shoes to the Capitol steps and the evening news. From women's wrongs to women's rights, it's a rough and rocky road. We've come a long way, ladies, and we still got a ways to go. Once more those waves of change are moving from sea to shining sea. Women and men are talking with the new honesty.
Well, we got to cut that short, that song very short. And I want to introduce my next guest on the phone with me is Colleen O'Neill. Welcome, Colleen. I'm sorry we couldn't get a hold of you at the first segment, and we're going to have to go through this a little bit quickly. Is that okay with you? Hello? Are you there? Hello. Are you there, Colleen?
I'm here.
Okay, I'm sorry. You know, we called twice. We couldn't get a hold of you, and we had to go to the next segment. So we're going to have to move a little quickly with this, if that's okay with you.
That's fine. Sorry about that.
Well, no, welcome. Colleen O'Neill graduated from New College of School of Law in 1982 and has moved to the community of Roseland, and she was been an active attorney and activist, and now she's working on Measure P. Why don't you give us a little background about yourself, Colleen, real quickly?
As you said, I graduated in 82. I moved to Santa Rosa actually right after I graduated, and I started a law office in the Roseland community, the Roseland Community Law Office, and, you know, I've been practicing law pretty consistently, although I've taken a couple other jobs off and on, and done some contract work with various other law offices. Go ahead.
Well, for the past several years, you've been working with the COL, the Citizens Oversight of Law Enforcement. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Right. Well, actually, COL started a few years ago. I've been working with it for the last year or so. And it was a coalition of people who were, you know, interested in oversight of law enforcement. Of course, the whole movement started with the Andy Lopez issues some time ago, and that's what the Iolero office arose out of. And COL has continued to meet even after the office was established because of concerns that, you know, we needed to beef up that office to some extent.
Well, you know, the most important thing about this morning's interview, and we'll have to get into it right away, and, you know, I want to invite you again on because you have such an interesting background and so much to share that it's just amazing to me, Colleen. I mean, I'm glad to have met you to really see that there's such activism in our community. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about the Evelyn Cheatham Ordinance to Repeal and Replace Article, I think it's 27 of the Sonoma County Code, establishing the Independent Officer of Law Enforcement Review and Outreach, which is called IALERO. And now we have the Measure P that's on the ballot, which is supposedly giving more teeth to the actual IALERO group. So can you just talk a little bit about what the initiative is about and why you think it's important people vote yes on it?
Well, the initiative is, as we said, to increase the ability of that office to, you know, do some clear oversight of law enforcement, and specifically in this case, the sheriff's department. And really, oversight is really about transparency and accountability. Transparency is really about data collection and reporting. Like collection of use of force issues, you know, it would include things like you know, traffic stops, you know, and report, you know, gathering information about who is stopped, why they're stopped, that kinds of things. And also things like body-worn camera videos being accessible to the public. So those are kind of the transparency kinds of related things. And accountability is about investigating, you know, use of force investigations, you know, honesty of the officers, conflicts of interest, community policing. So really the role of civilian oversight is kind of an ongoing civilian review of the functioning of the sheriff's department, you know, with the transparency again through reporting and independent objective review of the department. And part of that is the process for community input. I mean, I think that the issue here is whether or not the sheriff's department really reflects the values of the community and its policies and practices, procedures, and training. So I think that's the underlying issue. I think right now it is not reflecting the values of the community, and that's why we have Measure P.
Well, let's get to the chase. You know, that's really important. That is a kind of an aggravating point for me. They have these billboards out, don't defund our deputies. And I really think that whoever came up with that word defund made a big, big mistake, because it's not defunding. They're not taking money away. In fact, they're actually enhancing on some levels. Can you explain that? It's not defunding. It is deallocating.
That's right. It's
I don't know if there's such a word, but that's a word I came up with.
It's actually not even deallocating. I mean, it has no effect on the sheriff's department budget, period. There's a national organization, the National Association for Civilian Oversight of Law Enforcement, and they have developed best practices for both for law enforcement and for civilian oversight. And one of the things that they determined in the years that they've been in existence is what kind of budget does a civilian oversight department need to be effective? And what they came up with was that office needs to have approximately 1% or more of whatever the sheriff's department budget is. So that's why that figure is in the measure. So what we're asking for is just an amount equal to 1% of the sheriff's department budget.
So say for
that 1% from the budget.
So say for example, the sheriff gets a dollar. Okay, his budget's a dollar. We'll break it down to a dollar. So now he presents his budget and he says it's a dollar, and then it goes in front of the board of supervisors. They look at it and say, okay, 1% of that 1% now will go to this new organization that will be formed, or the enhancement of the ILERA group. But that 1%, which would be one penny of a dollar, mm-hmm. that 1% would come out of the general fund, but the sheriff still gets the dollar.
That's correct.
Well, that's as simple as you can get, folks. Do you hear that? If he has a dollar, 1% is allocated, but it's not 1% of that dollar. It's 1% that you advise the Board of Supervisors, this is how much is going to go into ILERA. So it's really not, there's no funding, defunding in this at all, it sounds like.
That's right. And actually, this measure is one of the few things on the ballot that isn't costing the taxpayers anything more.
Well, you know, what do you think they're so, what are they so afraid of? I mean, I think that law enforcement would benefit from this.
Well, absolutely. You know, I mean, it really is to the benefit of the deputies and the department in general. You know, I mean, we know that, you know, there aren't just, you know, I mean, the whole department is not a problem. There are good deputies out there, and the deputies that are violating policies, that are, you know, doing these things, are, you know, making it difficult for the good deputies. And, you know, we really want to just improve the office overall.
Are there any websites you can allude people to? And also, I think what I'm going to do is we'll see if we can figure out a little bit something. I know next week I'm going to have Susan Lamont on to talk a little bit about this, too. So I'm really sorry that we had to cut the time we did. So any websites or anything that you offer where people can get more information about this?
I wish I could come up with that off the top of my head. There's a Yes on Peace, SonomaCounty.com. That's the main website at this point that I would refer people to.
Okay, so that's yesonp.com, and that it'll be, we will have it on Women's Spaces. In fact, I'll call you later on, and we'll get some information, and I'll put it on the Women's Spaces face page also, so people can get to it. Well, Colleen,
yeah, yesonp.sonomacounty.com. Yeah.
Well, Colleen O'Neill, I want to thank you for coming on Women's Spaces. Thank you for all you're doing, and thank you for sharing so much information with us. And I look forward to another interview where we can get a little bit more in depth about some of the things, because I know that you have brought many law enforcement issues to task, and I think it would be an interesting conversation. So thank you so much.
Well, all right, thanks for having me.
Well, folks, you've been listening to Women's Spaces. I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening. Remember, our children are the future. And tonight at 11 o'clock, Women's Spaces airs again. And remember, it's so important to vote. It is so important. And my suggestion, go to the voter registration office on Fiscal Drive and drop your ballots off. Anyway, this is Elaine Holtz with Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, October 19th, 2020.